But here in this well-known text, this probably best-known text in all of the Bible around the world, you have the Word of God and the very words of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. He's speaking to Nicodemus, and he's expounding the cross, because he's talking about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and put it on a pole, and all that looked to that were healed, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's expounding the cross, and yet he gets into the issue that men should not perish.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and another time we bring to you the message on John 3:16. We're focusing on perish, that thou shalt not perish, that is, if you believe on the Son. Let's hear the reading of the Lord's Word as we turn to this passage today.
Our Bible reading today, well, we're coming back to John's Gospel, and we are again focusing on John 3:16. But let's read the latter half of the chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we will look at these verses from verse 14 onward, just to get a context of these statements here. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon, near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing, except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. May God in grace write his word upon your heart and bless each one through this scripture reading here today. Back to John 3:16 today. Last week I spent some time proving the case that the cross was not just the Lord Jesus trying to soften up his heavenly Father, but rather we read in this text, God so loved. And God the Father equally loved sinners. God the Father equally planned the cross that he would save us from our sins. Today, we're going to key in on the word perisheth, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I want to begin with a story of a traveler in Africa who, for some reason, was pursued by a snake, and he ran from the snake as it followed him through the jungle. And he came out into an opening and a clearing, and the snake was still coming after his heels. He saw a river, and he thought that if he would plunge in and cross the river, that he would be free from the pursuit of the snake. And he did that, and as he got out on the other side, he realized that snakes love water too, and it was also on the other side seeking to bite and poison him. That's an illustration of people who think that if they leave this world and go into the next world after death, crossing the river of death, that they will be free from their sins. No, the Bible tells us, be sure that your sin will find you out. And when we get to the other side, we will find that sin's guilt, sin's curse, and sin's poison will do its work and condemn us even there. That brings us today to this verse 16 and this word perish, that we should not perish. Who says that there's a hell? Whoever thought up hell? Whoever preached and taught that there is a place where men perish and dwell in eternal torment all of their future existence? Most don't want even to think about it. Most don't even want to preach it. And most people don't want to even hear about it. But here in this well-known text, this probably best-known text in all of the Bible around the world, you have the Word of God and the very words of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. He's speaking to Nicodemus, and he's expounding the cross, because he's talking about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and put it on a pole, and all that looked to that were healed, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's expounding the cross, and yet he gets into the issue that men should not perish. And here in reality, you have the reason for the cross. If men were not perishing, why would they need deliverance? If there was no snake following you, why would you need to even worry? Why would you need deliverance? And it is because of what sin has done, and that we are perishing, and that perishing is no small thing. And we can't write it off, well, it means you're annihilated, or it means that you just don't exist anymore, or that you're locked out of heaven and you don't get in. No, this alternative to heaven is described here and presented here by the Lord Jesus as perishing. Have you thought about that? Now, of course, everybody wants to get to heaven. And I suppose some people think about heaven. And in our Sunday evening messages, we're going to be dealing a lot about heaven. And how John, when the door opened and he was able to see right into heaven, and the things that he saw and the things that he heard. We take great delight in preaching about heaven. But here in this text, this gospel, good news text, the reason for the cross, the reason for salvation is based on the fact that the alternative is so ugly and horrible. It is described here as perishing. Now, this is no lonely text in the Bible describing men, women, boys, and girls as perishing, the world perishing. It's not an isolated statement in the Bible. In fact, as I got my concordance and as I looked up this word destroy, I found it right used commonly over and over and in a number of different contexts. Now, I want you to do this little study with me. I want us to take our Bibles and look at a number of places where this word perish is used. And I'll try and put it in context, and I'll try and give you a sense of what it means here to perish. Let's start with Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, this is why I used a concordance, because I looked up, you know, the Greek term, apolumiai, for perish, and see how it is translated in various places and contexts. And here we have this warning given to Joseph that he's to take the Lord Jesus, the baby Jesus, to flee out of Israel, go down to Egypt, because Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And you just think of what Herod would have done to that baby Jesus if he had gotten his hands on that infant. It would have been destroyed. It would have been put to death. It would have been ugly, horrible scene in the attempt of Herod to put an end to the baby Christ. Now, that helps us to grasp the seriousness of what it means in John 3:16 to perish. The next place it's found is Matthew 5, verse 29. Matthew 5, 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one day thy members should perish. That means your hand or your eye, that they would be destroyed. And not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, there's a couple of things to notice here. It is horrible. It is to end the normal life. It's an end, total end of the normal life. The whole body should be cast into hell. Now, this is the words of Jesus, the Son of God. Have I a right today? Am I a faithful, loving, friend and pastor to you to preach this? Well, John 3:16 is one of the great gospel good news texts. And if we don't take a look at the bad news, we can't understand the good news. And the bad news, as we find here, is that there is a hell. And that not just souls go there, but your body goes there. Look at it. Thy whole body should be cast into hell. So I want you to note that it's a physical place of physical suffering. And hell is a horrible, a destructive thing that you are to flee from. Then in Matthew 8:25, we have another use of the same Greek term, used perish, and it comes up in this scene. Matthew 8:25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now that's the disciples in their panic due to a storm. They're on this little boat in the midst of the sea, and the wind and the waves are going to destroy them. And they said, we perish, we perish. And of course, to go underwater, away from land, means an end of life. And it means a horrible end. And this is the use of the term again. Matthew 9, verse 17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. The bottles perish. Now, what is the problem with putting new wine into old bottles? They were animal skin bottles. They were of leather-like material. And of course, as they aged, they would crack and become porous. And if you reuse them, putting new wine in with all the weight of it, the pressures, the fermentation, the gases building up, that bottle or leather skin would burst. And of course, you just lose everything. It's useless. It's useless. And it perishes. And so we have in the Bible the use of this term, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that you don't become a castaway, that you don't end up destroyed, you don't end up suffering in hell. And I have a biblical reason for introducing the word hell. It's the place of physical suffering. It's the place that's real. And it's described for us in all these various ways. Annihilation, as some people try to interpret these things, and of course that's the cop-out. Just make it annihilation, that you're destroyed, your life is nixed, your breath is gone, and you cease to be. That's the easy cop-out. But that's not what the Lord Jesus meant when he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. What he meant was this future of missing heaven. And the alternative is a continuation of life, eternal existence. And the same word is aeon, same as heaven, where you continue to exist, but in a place of destruction and suffering. Now, one more text, Matthew 10 and verse 28. Matthew 10 and the verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so it's beyond dispute. If we're going to be Bible believers, if the Bible is going to be the foundation of our faith, If the Bible is going to be the basis on which we know God will judge us and deal with us, then we have this warning, that we have this revelation of truth here, that souls that perish end up in awful torments. We're told about Judas that he went to his own place. He just didn't cease to exist. When he dropped on that noose of the hangman's rope, Judas didn't cease to exist. The Bible says he went to his own place. He was and did perish. And so, as we look at John 3:16, as we think of the cross, and when it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's the cross, that's Calvary. That's where Jesus died, nigh naked, stretched out on that Roman gibbet, where he offered up himself to God for sinners, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's the reason why he did it. That's the reason why he was willing to leave heaven, assume a human body in our nature, and be crucified on that cruel cross. And if there is no perishing, then there is no saving to do. If there is no hell, then there is no reason for God to send his Son to suffer in our place. And so God's love, as described here, God so loved. That love has no meaning or benchmark for its significance if sending his Son was just a display or pretense. If there was no danger, if there was no hell, no fire, no eternity of suffering for lost souls, then this love that is so described here as so loved, infinite love, it's just a fairy tale. It has no real significance. It has no bedrock meaning. It's just something that God arbitrarily did, and he sent his Son, and he made him to be well known in the world. And the history is, of course, that he was hated and sent to the cross. And God allowed it just to display something. But it was not because men were perishing. Today, let me reason with you about the danger of perishing. My key word today is perishing. I picked it right out here of John 3:16. And I want you to think about this whole matter of perishing. Because if you don't see the danger, if you don't see the negative, you'll never understand the positive, the love of God dealing with the perishing nature of men. Now, the Bible always starts at the same place, with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We can't understand the history of sin, the history of man's pollution and corruption, unless we go right back to Adam and Eve. And God created them upright. He created them holy. But put them in a place of probation where they were called upon to obey. And if they obeyed, they would receive life and blessing. But if they used their will to choose the wrong thing, because they had free will, and they were placed in the garden on probation, and the moment that they would disobey, they would be losers and they would be banished from the presence of God. And of course, the history is that Adam and Eve took that forbidden fruit. God visited them. And he cried out, "Where art thou?" Adam and Eve were hiding in the garden. They sensed their own guilt, their shame, their distance from God. And God cried out to them, "Where art thou?" And they confessed that they had, after a bit of interrogation, they confessed. First of all, they blamed the devil, and Adam blamed Eve, trust men to blame their wives. And then Adam He was kneeled with the reality. You undertook to obey. The covenant was made with you, Adam. And Adam took the forbidden fruit. And they were driven out, banished from God in their rebellion. And the tragedy, of course, is that every one of their children, their offspring, follow the same pattern. They make the same choices. They show themselves with the same attitude of rebellion. And they are banished from God. Hell is the extension of that separation where God no longer deals with men in mercy. And of course, this is the story of the world. World history is the repetition of man's rebellion and rejection of God, running from him, deserting, acting as a fugitive. And this pattern is seen over and over. And it may be seen in your life, because you have the seeds of rebellion and sin in your heart. And that means you're perishing. That means you're not right with God. And God sees the pedigree of sin. He sees the pattern over and over and over. And I could emphasize that to a great degree. But the other thing that God sees is man's passion for sin, the things we desire. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. They desired, they saw the fruit, they desired the fruit, and then they partook of it. And those sinful desires are manifested in the heart of each sinner. And it's not just the thing that's wrong, it's that we crave it. That's the thing that you seek after. That's the thing that you lay hold upon and you want to live for, and you become so passionate about it.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I hope this message has resonated and brought you to consider your need of the Lord Jesus. And of course, if I can be of any personal help, feel free to give me a call here at 604-576-1091, or send me an email. You can go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you'll get all the information concerning our broadcast and our church, as well as our email and contact information. I look forward to hearing from you. Be sure also to sign up for our weekly newsletter, where you'll get all the news of our church and our radio broadcasts. Then also you can send for our study notes. These are weekly Bible studies that we're happy to send out to you. You can get them on a PDF format, and we pray that the Lord will use his word in hearts. It's time to seek the Lord, time to pray, time to be serious about the need of God's power and grace in his church. And so I invite you along to our Sunday services, 10:30 and 6 p.m., here at the Free Presbyterian Church. Sunday School Hour is at 9:30 for all ages. The address of our church is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. And we are located just on the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We look forward to hearing from you or seeing you. You can also join us on our webcast on Sundays.